much, Lene and Emma, for ministering to us this morning as our younger ones make their way out to Children's Church. I'd invite you to take your copies of the scripture and locate 1 Kings chapter 17. There is an outline there in your bulletin I'd encourage you to take a look at, to grab it and fill that out as we work our way through this passage. Some of you are following along in the YouVersion Bible app, and there's been a few glitches as we have transitioned to our new website. And if you look on there and look under events, you may have trouble finding it, but under search by keywords, look up First Baptist Church of Princeton, and you might find it. I'd appreciate a little feedback if it was successful for you, but I've just been able to get it up here, and we're looking at the subject, Take the Next Step, or Time for the Next Step. And so take a look at that, and you can follow along in that portion of, or use that resource for you as well. So let's look at 1 Kings 17. We'll be looking at verse 1 through 7 this morning. Let me just read that for you as we kind of bring our thoughts and attention to the Word of God and to this subject this morning. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who is of the settlers of Gilead, and said to Ahab, King Ahab, remember we talked about last week, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. That goes back to a promise in Deuteronomy that God made. You disobey me, there will be consequences. One of the consequences is the natural world will not be as cooperative for you. You will face drought, and this is what we're facing here. In fact, that is the prayer of Elijah right here. There will be no dew or rain except by my word. The words of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook that I have commanded you, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. If you could change one thing in your life in the next 45 minutes, what would that one thing be? What would be among your choices as they're going through your head right now? What would you like to see change? I want this one thing to change. Give you a moment or two to process that. Run that through your thinking. What would you most like to see change? As you ponder that, I think I'm rather safe to go out on this limb and fill in the blank for you, at least somewhat. This one thing at the front of the line in some form or fashion is similar for all of us. Most people desire a change of a circumstance, a what. And there's several categories that kind of slot out here that are rather norm for anybody and for all of us. The area of health. Another area is finance. Another area is a family situation or relationship. Another dominating thought or area concern is the future and an unknown future. We desire a circumstance to change typically in one of those slots. So how did I do? Could I just see a quick show of hands if I even came remotely close? Yeah. You know what that tells us? We're not alone, and we're not all that weird out there. You're normal. And let's look and let's build on that just a little this morning. You know, our first thought is what I want to change is a circumstance. Now, change is normal. And change is natural. A lot of you had kids going back to school this last week, and some of you probably put little Johnny or little Susie up next to the door, and you took out a pencil, you said, don't write on the wall, and then you wrote on the wall, and marked off where little Susie is in going into second grade or third grade, and you kind of have this little growth chart thing going, because it's something to celebrate. And growth is normal. It is natural. Change, growth, progress in life in general is normal and it is natural. And it's also necessary, especially when we come into the spiritual dynamic. As we bring all of our thoughts to this book, to the Bible, we learn again and again and again, that change in a relationship with God is normal, natural, and necessary. God is in the change business. Theologically, we talk about it as progressive sanctification, progressive growth, progress. It's normal, it's natural, and it's necessary. How long does it take? It takes a lifetime. At the top of God's agenda is changing our life. There are many circumstantial whats where we desire changes. But God has an even bigger agenda than our what, and that is who. Who we are. Who we are before a kind, wonderful, benevolent God. And at the top of his agenda is developing me, developing us, who we are. And admittedly, that takes a little, it's a little uncomfortable, but we remember whose hands we are in. We tend to stop and to dwell on the what. This is what I want. This is the circumstance that I want to change. But God keeps on going, and he addresses his greatest focus on a bigger agenda, and that is to develop me, to develop you, to develop us into being God's man, and I use that generically, God's person, God's man in God's moment for God's mission. And that's what we will see in the life of Elijah. Here is God's man in God's moment for God, doing a mission for God. And in your life, it is all about being the person God wants you to be, trusting him that in the moment, he will guide you, he will also use you. He's got a reason and a purpose for every one of us in this room. Now, if you are familiar with the life of Elijah, you kind of have an inkling of what's coming. Some mountaintop moments. We sang about some mountains a few moments ago. And you're aware of some moments that are coming. And if you're not familiar with the life of Elijah, that's okay. Over the next several weeks, you have the opportunity to look into this portion of Scripture and to see what there is to see and to make the connections with your life. As we think of what's coming, it is helpful for us to see where things are at right now. And the spiritual development of Elijah comes before those dramatic displays of ministry in his life. The same goes for you and I individually and as a church. Our spiritual development is essential if we're going to be effective in ministry for God. Well, we stepped into verse 1 of last week. We looked at Elijah, the man, just a country boy from out where in the middle of nowhere, a nobody from nowhere. But God calls him into the moment, into a dark, drowning culture where the people of God have gotten sidetracked to the point of replacing the true God of the Bible with all kinds of idols and pagan worship. And we saw some threads that we cannot miss in life. And we find great encouragement to be reminded that God is active. God is alive, he's active, he's on the move. And we see that in the life of Elijah, and we trust we'll make the connections to our life. So let's look at the pre-mountain man of the Old Testament, Elijah. Let's look at who he was and learn a little bit about who we are. And those whats are important in our life, but the who is even more important. Who am I? Who am I before God? Who am I right now? Who does God want me to be? Well, four thoughts that are going to direct our study this morning. Thought number one, we see in verse 2. Pick it up in verse 2. Our walk with God involves progress. Progression. Progress. And progress comes one step at a time. God's plans unfold one step at a time. If you look into verse 2 in your translations, it says, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And many of your translations will say, then the word of Elijah came. And I think that's a really good translation. Then the word of God came to Elijah. That brings up the point that while there's a lot of details we don't know about what brought Elijah into the palace and in before King Ahab and all that was going through his mind, it appears that when Elijah went and confronted King Ahab, he did not know what was going to happen next. His mission was specific: confront the king about his sin. Confront the king about the sin of leading the rest of the nation down the wrong path religiously and spiritually. That was clear. Confront the king. The results appear not to be clear, or what would happen next. King Ahab was certainly in a position to take his head off, to eliminate him right there and then. But that doesn't seem to deviate Elijah, who the country boy boldly goes into the palace before royalty and challenges him with what is going on. Elijah obeyed God in the present, and he trusted his God for his future. You know, God does not give us more to do, typically, until we've completed our past assignments. What is God waiting on you? What's the assignment that he gave you that he's still waiting for you to finish, accomplish? You know, our staff and board get together, we go through all kinds of things, and what we're working on is clarity, communication, and accountability. And at the end of the meetings, we're going through action items. What are the action items we need to take? Who's owning it? What are the deadlines? In school, did you ever use the reply to your teacher that the dog ate my homework? Well, sometimes when we get together, we have to admit the dog ate our homework. We haven't quite finished stuff yet, but we know those things happen. But, you know, sooner or later, the dog is full and we get the job done. We get the assignment done. What is it that we've, maybe we have an assignment that we need to finish up or move forward. God typically doesn't give us more until we've been faithful in the present with past assignments. And God unveils his will progressively as we follow his directions with our obedience. Then, moving into a new section, a new chapter in this experience, Elijah gives present obedience to the step. And that's a good thing for us to land on and remember. Present obedience to every step that God has given us. What is God waiting on for us to finish? What are we not doing? Kind of the flip side of it that God wants us to be doing all along. A walk with God involves progression, moving forward, and we move forward a step at a time. Let's look at thought number two. Our walk with God also involves preparation. Let's drop in about verse 3 with me. The word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, go away from here, turn east, and hide. Hide. Do you like to hide? I don't know if you like to hide. We all maybe like to hide it sometimes, but we certainly are not expecting this to be happening here. Not after the action really has just got going. Here comes the nobody from nowhere. He confronts the king. He challenges him face to face. It's like intense. It is like game on. And then God tells Elijah, I want you to, now that you've declared war, retreat. My walk with God involves preparation. God's preparation of me. God's preparation of us. It's all about God's timing. Getting ready involves showing up. Getting ready involves more than just showing up. It is being prepared. And before the doing aspect of ministry and serving God must also come the development and the discipline of listening and learning. And as we listen in to this passage, we see the learning process continuing with the prophet Elijah. I thought he was ready to rumble. I thought it was game on. I thought there was no more time to waste. But I'm reminded, maybe it's a good reminder to you, we are ready when God says we're ready. And our heart may be ready, but there may be an issue or something, or it just might not be God's timing for the next moment yet. And we're all reminded that God's timing is never a wasted moment. Go and hide. Was he being a coward? No, he was being obedient. He was being that student at the feet of his master teacher. And God's timing may not always make sense to us, but it is never nonsense to the King of Kings and Lord of all Lords. The additional downtime for Elijah at the brook is strategic. His spiritual reserves are built up. If you know anything about the story and this chapter of history, you know this is going to be an intense spiritual battle. And in a sense, Elijah is getting his spiritual tank filled up even fuller at the brook Cherith. His total dependence on God will deepen. And his human ego is suffocated there in the solitude of the stream. Here comes the man out of nowhere. He gets this big public spotlight moment with the king, and that would be heady for anybody in that situation. And very easily, at least me, I could say, wow, look at me. God's going to use me in this big spotlight of a moment. I am so awesome that God decided to use me. And in this moment, it is as if he is suffocating the ego out of Elijah. And that's not a bad thing. My walk with God involves progress. My walk with God involves preparation. God preparing me perfectly for his timing. I am called to offer and exhibit to God present obedience in every step, and also to put in the quiet time with God. Spend the time that nobody else on the planet can do but you. You know, there's nobody else in this room that can have my quiet time with God. That's my privilege. It's my responsibility. You know, I can't do it for you as well. We all need to be investing time with the God of the Bible. So how's that going? It can never be enough. And it's not about guilt trips, but what can I do to strengthen that, to encourage that, to move that forward? My walk with God involves progress. My walk with God involves preparation. Into verse 3 through 6, it also involves provision. Provision. Go hide yourself in the brook Cherith, and while you're there, I'm going to take care of you. Water, meals on wings. My walk with God involves provision. God takes care of his kids. God will take care of your kids, and he will take care of you. He can be depended on to take care of his servants who are taking care of God's business. It's a reminder to pastors. It's also a reminder to the flock that he will take care of each of us. We can never outgive God. We can never outspend God. And he will never leave us without what we need. He will never lead us to where his grace and his goodness will not provide for us. Back country boy, now at the brook with a bunch of birds. The provision of Elijah, it involves natural means. He takes them to a brook that is flowing. It's a seasonal brook, but it is flowing. He gives him a natural provision, but there's also a supernatural means to the provision of God. And God said he commanded the ravens to provide for Elijah. In verse 4, the ravens brought bread and meat in the morning. Bread and meat in the morning. And what's our text say, verse 6? Bread and meat in the evening. Morning, evening. Morning, evening. Scholars estimate that Elijah was probably at this brook for right around a year. So let's go with that, about 360 days. Let's make it 350 because I'm still learning to do my math. 350 in the morning, 350 at night, 350 times 2 is 700. 700. 700 times Elijah personally witnesses this miracle. Ravens, the bird that is referred to here in the scripture, it's a scavenger type bird. And we have ones that you could describe as around here. I see them consistently throughout the week on my road, over my head. These birds are scavengers who do not typically share. If you would sneak up on a bunch of ravens that are in the middle of roadkill, you're not going to hear this conversation. You first, you first, you first. No, what you're going to hear is mine, 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 mine. And I think it's so cool that God used these guys for my benefit and for your benefit to remind us not only how great God is, but also how creative he is and how complete he is. I mean, this is not some bird that you could train to stop at McDonald's and bring in a bag of French fries and it's no big deal to him. This is so unnatural, it blows our mind. And it happens basically 700 times over the course of a year. Birds who are scavengers, who typically do not share, and who are notorious for not even taking care of their own little babies. And God chooses them. And we're reminded that we have an active God, we have a faithful God, and we have an all-powerful God. And here, nature itself bows and serves its creator. Look with me at verse 4. It shall be with you that you will drink of the brook that I've commanded, and I've commanded the ravens to provide for you. And what's the next word you see in your verse, in your scriptures? There! Now that's real easy to, that doesn't seem like a very big word, does it? Very significant word, a major word. But we don't want to blow past it. I've commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Do you think he was doing that for anybody else, anywhere else? Do you think if Elijah would have said, you know, I'm just not into that. I just don't want to go to that place. I've been there, and I just don't want to visit. You think God would have provided for him in that dramatic way if he'd been disobedient? It's a reminder how important obedience is and how great obedience is when we come back to it. There. An old preacher of yesteryear made this comment. God used improbable means in an unexpected place with remarkable abundance. And I'll just add my words. God was just being himself. He was just being God. The God he was in the Old Testament, the God he was in the New Testament, and the God that he is today. It's been said, God's blessing is like a showerhead. You just have to get under it to enjoy it personally and productively. You just have to be there. Put in your time in God's word personally, and then get under God's word within the body of Christ. You know, there really is no excuse for any of us to be a starving Christian. We have so many resources available to us. And here, this morning's sermon, you can dig into it on the web and listen to it again and discover all the mistakes I made and count how many times I said, and also just follow the flow of thought. And we've got the outlines in a couple different ways. And we even have growth groups that are working at the application of this. There is no excuse for any of us to be starving in our spiritual walk and life. My walk with God involves progression. My walk with God involves preparation. I need to be in his word and listening and learning. My walk with God involves provision. And fourthly, my walk with God, verse 7, involves peace, not panic. Peace, not panic. Verse 7, it happened. That screams the sovereignty of God. It screams the diversity of God. And what is about to happen kind of challenges me again. It happened after a while that the brook dried up. There was no rain in the land. It's natural the brook dried up. Now, there is probably a protective aspect going on of why God moved Elijah from the palace out to the brook. But I think even more than the protective aspect, there's this preparation aspect for the next phases, the next chapters of his ministry. And when the preparation is done on God's timing, then it is game on. And the way that God signals it's time to get into the next phase is he ends that nice, comfortable climate at the brook. You know, I'm just thinking, if I was Elijah, I might get a little annoyed getting sent to the brook, sent away from the palace. But the longer I'm at the brook, the better it looks. I mean, no hassles. No king trying to chop my head off. Nobody who's challenging me on what is right and what is wrong. It's just the brook and the birds and my interaction with God. That sounds like a great spiritual time. The longer I stay there, the more comfortable I'll get. Comfortable faith is not for long. And drying brooks are also not a surprise. They are another step to take in our journey, in our mission, to be God's person, God's man, in God's moment. Drying brooks are not a surprise to the God who handles the rain. Drying brooks are not a surprise to the one who is working in my life. You know, I look at Elijah and I do the math 700 times. That would be so cool to see that miracle. And it is a miracle. That many times in my life. Oh, I wish I was Elijah and I could just see God's hand at work. They tell me there's something called sunrises and sunsets and seasons. And all of those are also the display of God's sovereign control over everything. My drying brook, your drying brook, is not a surprise to God. It is simply another step to take in our obedience, in our mission, to be God's person as he desires and he wants to use us. Peace, not panic. It's easy to panic when we get into uncomfortable moments, moments that we've never been in. And have you ever experienced today, before today? Now, every day is new. It's fresh. And the details will always be changing. And it will always be a challenge as to our comfort level. As we look at this drying brook and collect our thoughts here, we are reminded that we all must fight the temptation to make idols of even good things, to make idols of what God has provided in the past. We trust and worship a good, good Father. We must be careful as we trust and as we worship that the gifts of a good, good Father do not replace a good, good Father in our thoughts and in our obsessions. We trust a good God who gives gifts more than the gifts of a good, good Father. And our focused obsession and priority must not simply be on the good old days, but on the good God of yesterday and today and tomorrow. God dries up his brooks as part of his good development plan for his servants, preparing us for our next assignments. God has been active in the past. He is active today, and he will be active tomorrow, and nothing is going to stop his plans. If I'm living the past, I could seriously hamper the faith development of others. We need to know the stories of the past, and we need to know the stories of today. We need fresh stories, fresh testimony to further enliven our life and remind us of the activeness of God today. You know, we have seen and heard the testimonies of God acting today. and God using Cheetos and raccoons to make an eternal difference. We have seen how God has used a relationship in my life from 30 years ago, to touch someone in this church family and bring them to Christ in the last couple of months. We worship and trust a good, good Father who continues to orchestrate in miraculous ways and use us for our good, for his glory. Baal is an idol that needs to be dealt with in this chapter and in this entire section of Scripture. He's not the only idol that we need to deal with. We need to be careful not to take our focus of worship off of a good Father to even being just focused on his good gifts. Vance Havner, famous with many of the past, made this comment as he talked about Elijah. God will not long provide for his people in the same way or the same degree, lest they make a God out of the thing God gives and look to that thing and look to that gift to satisfy more than looking to the God who satisfies. We need to be in awe of God, and that awe needs to be fresh and full and focused on him. If you are still alive, then God is going to take you. He's going to take me out of our comfort zones from time to time. And he will take us out of our comfort zone for his good reasons and for his good pleasure as we walk forward with him step by step in obedience. We may not understand it all, but we know we will be in the place where God wants us to be. God wants us to change. God wants us to grow. He wants us to make progress. And so we must. And so we decide that we will for God. And here's our moment of decision, our moment of commitment, our moment of reflection. What are we going to do with this God? With this God who will bring the sun set and the sun rise, who will bring the seasons, who will bring the resources that we need to be completely obedient to him. I'm going to ask you to just focus in on what God is wanting to speak to you and say to you in the next moment by just bowing your head. Closing your eyes. Let me throw a few thoughts into your mind to just for reflection and some commitment. God wants us to change. Will I change? Will I be God's person by looking to the next step of obedience? Will I be God's person and be faithful in God's moment? Putting in the time, being under his word. Will I be God's person, focused on his mission? Looking for someone here in this church congregation, today, this week, to encourage, to support. Will I be God's person, in God's moment, doing God's mission? Will I just give God the blank check and also do what he's called me to do? Father, we are asking, what's the next step for each of us to take? What would you have us to do? Maybe that's different that we haven't been doing, or just recommit our zeal to that. What is it that we need to lay aside? What is it that we need to pick up? The greatest relationship that any of us can have is a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. By trusting what Jesus Christ alone did on the cross. Lord, we must admit that we're a sinner. We must agree that what Jesus did on the cross takes care of that sin problem, and trust in Jesus alone to save us. That relationship is to continue, it's to be ever growing and maturing, becoming more and more like Christ in our attitudes and in our actions, and it will take our entire lifetime. So Lord, none of us are retiring. Whatever time, whatever resources, whatever abilities we have, we make them available to you. We ask that you would use them and that you would use us, and we'll trust you with the details. And we thank you in advance for the close intimacy that we will have with you and the encouragement and support that we can be to others. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?